is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
We are back. You were listening to Davin's Den. Joe's with us.
Yes.
But Joe's always here for part two. But
yeah.
Now he's actually here on time, so that's nice. let's see. So, I got to find my School of Fools music. I'm so prepared.
You know, in the last segment, we were talking about your food and fuel, and Joe's girl said he's going to be Iron Stomach. I'm like the Iron Chef, and she said, yes.
Iron Stomach?
Iron Stomach.
Oh, I kind of like that.
I know. It's a really good title.
What you have?
I had food and fuel. But food and fuel, it sums up what it is better.
Yeah, it does.
But I do like Iron Stomach.
I do like that.
School of Fool.
All right. A former Virginia high school teacher who was fired after refusing to say a transgender student's pronouns has filed a suit against the district claiming his religious rights were violated. Teacher Peter Vlaming, a former French teacher, filed the suit against West Point Public Schools, which is outside of Richmond. Vlaming was fired from his post in December for refusing to refer to a student as he and him, as the child was transitioning from female to male. In the suit filed Monday, Vlaming said he sincerely believes that referring to a female as a male by using an objectively male pronoun is telling a lie. Do you, Pinocchio? Before he was fired, he told his superiors at West Point High School that his religion prevented him from referring to the student using male pronouns. The school district has not immediately commented on the student. I don't know if this...
Yeah, exactly. I'm not.
I don't know if this guy should have been fired. You know what? I guess he should be fired. I guess he should be fired.
No, I don't
if
know.
You're going to be a dick.
And that's why I just made that comment. Because it's right. And I see that
first
smile.
Of, all right. First okay. of all, the religious thing is bullshit. I don't know any religion that talks about pronouns.
Horseshit.
That's horseshit.
But if he does, if you are religious, then you feel that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and you feel that it's against your religion to call them anything.
You know
other
what the workaround is? Call them by their name. That's the workaround.
Maybe they don't want to be called by... And I'm being...
Who doesn't want to be called by their name?
Listen to me. I'm being the devil's advocate here. Maybe there's a backstory to this. You know?
You're digging quite far back. No. If I have a problem with pronouns, I will call you by your name. I will refer to you by your name. Problem solved. If I really want my job that badly, I don't believe it's a religious freedom thing.
No.
The guy's just being a dick. It's not about you. It's about the reason you go into teaching is it's about the students. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. Nobody goes into teaching to get rich.
But if you have your religious convictions, this might be a problem.
I got religious convictions about everything.
I understand. But you know what? And like I said, we're looking at on the outside. If we were looking at this, we wanted to get in depth. All right. How religious are you? Do you go to church regularly? Have you espoused religion in any other areas and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you really have a very deep? Can you look into it? And see if that's the case.
You know what? Let's stop.
I'm not defending the guy. I'm just giving it the benefit of the doubt, reasonable doubt on this.
How about everybody is religious in their own fucking home? How about that? And we all get along. Do whatever you want in your home. I don't care. Raise your kids however you want. If you want them to be tolerant and because your religion teaches that, fine. If you want them to be intolerant because your religion teaches that, fine. Do it inside your home. The rest of us have to fucking work together as a civilization and get along. We're all not special snowflakes because of our own little religion. This is the only guy who I've ever heard refer to pronouns as religions. I cannot tell a lie. We all fucking lie.
Yeah.
He's lying right now.
This yeah.
Again, the compromise is, all right, I'm not going to call her him. I'm going to call her Bill. Because that's what Bill's going as now. I'm going to call you Bill.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was put on the table.
If it was...
I mean, they had to have a hearing or something like that.
Does that even have to be put on the table? If you had a problem, you go, well, I'm not, I don't believe in this.
If I had enough... And you got to remember, people that are devoutly religious...
Are usually assholes.
Yes.
So then if you're an asshole, get to stepping, stupid. I don't need you in the school.
Yes, but if you're devoutly religious, you do have your right, even if you're an asshole, as much as this transgender person has their right.
Right, but this is a child. This is a child.
In a public school.
In a public school. Teach at a Catholic school. Where
or wherever your religion is.
Or a yeshiva, or a mosque. Not a mosque. I can't think of the Muslim schools right now.
I can't think of any other.
But I know them. Madrasa.
Yeah, but wherever. Go to wherever that religion is.
Yes.
And teach
you
for them.
You don't have a right to your job.
If you're that intolerant of, you know.
If you can't stomach saying a pronoun. We're not asking you to hook up with
it's
them.
It's almost as the same thing as if a bakery does not make. Hold it. I'm not.
No, I know we're going to the bakery cake.
But yeah. No.
Which the Supreme Court did not really decide. They
ruled understand, on the but I'm not. I'm not. And you got to understand something. I am not defending this guy. I'm just trying to look at this situation objectively.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's almost like the situation where if the religious person doesn't want to bake a cake mm-hmm. for a gay couple. You know, they're being silly, but they're devoutly religious on this. So it's just an interesting thing where he was fired, but what transpired?
What does his religion say about being a decent human being and treating a child kindly? What does his religion say about that? It's not about this guy. It's about the child. Why make the child feel like shit? You don't have to agree with it. What do you have the kid? One period a day, five times. You see the kid less than 5 hours a day. You're not talking to the kid constantly in that time. Suck it up, Buttercup. Let the kid's got enough problems. What religion teaches you to be a dick?
Yeah, really. Well, a lot of them.
All right. Well, you're not supposed to be, but that's how people
The counter argument might be, well, why, you know, I work in a place. Why can't I have my freedom of religion?
Because it's a public school.
Because
the taxpayers are paying for it. There's no Bibles in the school. There's no crosses in the school.
There's a separation of church and state.
Yeah, it's a public school. Like I said, be as religious as you want. Just do it at home. Do it in your church.
Yeah. Wherever you worship, do that.
Don't do it. I mean, and this is different than the bakery thing because this is a child. This is a child. The bakery thing was shitty enough. You can have arguments either way mm-hmm. for that. This is a child.
How about just call the kid student? If you can't figure out, oh, I don't want to call it Bill because that's a boy's name and this is a girl. Or
well, the thing is, if they're
whatever.
How about hey you?
Something.
That pronoun doesn't have sex involved with it.
Had to make a big fucking deal about it and
but
single
how
out this
feel
kid.
Like if you were a kid and be called hey you, that's just as insulting. The reason I'm bringing all this up is it just seems fair, you know, it's a rights thing. And who has the bigger right in this situation?
The child. The child, because it's a public school.
Yeah.
It's a public school.
That's
our tax dollars are paying for the salary. It's not a private school. A private school is a whole different argument, which you could have.
Right, and they can have different rules.
Because a lot of times the private schools, you have to adhere to certain codes. And guidelines that you don't have to in a public school.
Right.
And you agree to those codes, both the students, the parents, and the staff.
And another thing I'm curious about is...
Transitioning?
Vicarious.
We'll call you She-Joe.
Oh, the funny thing is Rock Up played about 3 weeks ago, and I was wearing street clothes. I dress it up, so my buddy Dennis goes, how come you didn't dress up? Because I'm transitioning.
To a boy.
You're going
to
be a boy.
And Dennis is such a smartass, that shut him up.
I'm transitioning.
I go, because I'm transitioning, stupid.
That's funny.
But I wonder what was the deciding factor in this? Him not bowing to call this person a woman, or a zero tolerance policy where that wasn't even discussed.
I'm sure he got called into the office.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm curious.
It's like, what's this guy's name? David Flaming? Is that Peter? Peter, listen, we got a problem. I understand you don't want to, but parents are
Peter Flaming?
Peter Flaming.
Flaming, not Flaming.
I don't know.
Here's what you got to do. You gotta do that. I don't want the parents yakking at me. I don't want the kid feeling bad.
Right.
Call the kid by his name.
Yeah.
You gotta do.
Because like
but
I
he
said,
wasn't, but Peter wasn't willing to play ball. Out you go. We all gotta do shit we don't like.
I guess he's got his.
You gotta do scammer clips. Like you're not thrilled. You do it.
I'm like.
We all do shit we don't want to do.
You know, I'm on video once a week. I don't
want to
do it.
People don't want Pip bringing in stupid underwear that nobody wants to wear, but they allow it. You know, we all deal with
a pair of BVDs. Yeah, there they are.
We all allow things and tolerate things and do things we don't want to do.
There's gonna be tiny whities on the kitchen table. They're just gonna have to deal with that.
It's called being part of society. I mean, really, this guy, He if he's putting himself so much ahead of this child,
yeah,
I don't want him teaching.
Right.
You're not qualified. Because teaching is pretty much a selfless job. You're not doing it for the fame and the fortune.
You're putting your values on these kids. That's not your job.
No.
You're not supposed to be putting your religious values on the kids.
Just the way the right wing justifiably complains when college professors put some of their left-wing stuff on the students.
Right.
It's the same type of shit.
Yeah.
Leave it at home.
Yeah.
Teach the course.
I mean, in a broader picture, I wish we could get back to the news where they just talk about what happened. Who, what, when, where, how, why.
It's called PBS.
Not how
it's
I
called,
think about
it's called
it.
It's called the Associated Press and Reuters.
Yeah.
We have options. We just choose not to watch them.
Yeah.
But we have those options.
You know,
even the local news is generally that way. Local news generally isn't biased.
Yeah, but like I said, the reason I brought that up, because, with rights, just for a debate, it's like, well, he said it was a freedom of religion. Okay, this could
I think
time.
It's bullshit. Listen, I'm all for, I'm willing to hear religious freedom. This isn't that. This is the guy being a dick to a kid. It's a kid.
Yeah, come on. And it's like your religious beliefs should not be coming into it when this is public education.
Yeah, if your religious beliefs prevent you from working here and the things that we need to do, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
You picked the wrong place to be.
There are places... I feel like I probably had a tougher in high school baseball because I couldn't go to practices and games like on Friday nights mm-hmm. or Saturdays because
yeah.
my dad's religious beliefs.
Yeah, it's like Saturday. You know what? This is going to be a problem for baseball.
So what am I going to do? Am I going to sue the school that I should be a starter because of religion? No, you just fucking suck it up.
You miss a lot of games.
You miss some games. You don't play as much as maybe you should, because maybe they're putting other people ahead of you because they're there on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
So should this kid suck it up because of the teacher's religious beliefs?
No. No, the kid should not suck it up.
No. No, the kid should definitely not suck it up. Kid... be kid.
There was never a lawsuit in my case where I sue, because there was rules. There was decorum. You're supposed to be there on Friday and Saturday. You're supposed to refer to the kids by the way they want to be referred. That's just the way it is. I didn't fucking cry about it. It is what it is.
Were you penalized for it?
I feel like it cost me playing time. I feel like I was not, with one of the coaches, the varsity coach, I feel like I was not looked upon as favorably. That's okay.
Yeah, well, whenever you have something extracurricular and you're not going to be there all the time, whoever's running it usually goes, ugh, because they want the participation.
Sure,
so
that's fine.
Like I said, freedom of religion is such a button topic.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
No, I mean, we should...
The more we put God in this country, the more everybody's at each other's throats.
Well, the thing is, freedom of religion means the right to not have your door banged down in the middle of the night and be dragged out of your beds because of the religion you practice.
It protects you from the government.
It's not the freedom to go and put your religion on others.
Right.
That's not what it's supposed
now, if
to
they
mean.
Discriminated against this guy because, say, he was a Catholic and they wouldn't let him work there because he's a Catholic, then
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Then absolutely.
Then
but no, they're just asking
around.
Him to do what every other teacher does, and there's a sensible workaround. Call the student by their name.
Yeah.
That's the workaround.
Well, this guy must have been devoutly religion. Oh, come on, stupid. Devoutly religious because he felt he would lose his job over this and took that. That's why I was asking the question of why I was curious of the backstory of the story. Was it a zero tolerance thing and they let him go, or was it that they tried to make a compromise and he wouldn't do it because of his religious belief? So that's the interesting thing.
But he said he can't lie.
Please
listen.
It's not a lie.
It's not a lie. To quote George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
It's not a lie. It's a different understanding of, being than they're used to or that they prefer. But you know what? You don't get to prefer about what other people do in these kind of instances.
All right,
too bad.
Let's move on. This is a body-shaming math problem.
I was shocked. Honestly, it was the last thing Naomi Pacheco expected to see on her fourth grader's homework.
Such an irresponsible way to teach children how to do math.
A math problem.
Problem right before that talked about a Saint Bernard and a dog right before that.
But it wasn't comparing apples and oranges.
It was comparing girls' weight. It says the table to the right shows the weight of three grade four students. How much heavier is Isabel than the lightest student?
Naomi's daughter Rhythm saw an issue.
since I thought it was offensive. Girls shouldn't be comparing each other. And I know it was a math problem, but, like, I didn't think that was really okay.
She chose not to answer the question.
But she circled it and she said, what? This is offensive. Sorry, I won't write this. It's rude.
Instead, she wrote her teacher a letter.
Don't want to be rude, but I think that math problem wasn't very nice. I thought that was judging people's weight.
Her teacher was so responsive and spoke to her about it and supported her decision.
The problem in question is part of Rhythm's math curriculum, provided to Murray City Schools for the first time by Eureka Math.
They're trying to make questions that are relevant to a fourth grader's life and lifestyle and things that they encounter.
I didn't really think that would be on homework. I thought that would be like fruits or vegetables or stuff like that.
We reached out to Eureka Math. They say in the 6 years that they've provided math modules, they've never had a complaint about one of their questions. In a conversation with Fox 13, the company said, quote, there is no value judgment in the question about weight. It's merely a comparison. They continued saying, quote, it sounds like the parent is putting the value judgment on it, not the question.
We have other resources and other ways of teaching our children math and how to weigh proportions, objects, people without direct comparisons, especially comparing little girls.
Both Rhythm and Naomi say they hope that this will bring about change, that they won't see this type of question again on a 9-year-old's homework. But at the end of the day, they're proud that they had a voice. In Murray, L. Thomas.
All right. I mean, at some point, I mean, you're teaching comparison. This is a fact of life. They're not saying, hey, fatty boomba laddie over there and scrawny bitch over there. They're not doing that. No. There's no adjective. And they're assuming, I feel like they're assuming that they're like, the one that's the heavier one is getting mocked. Maybe it's the one who's too light. And would they have this complaint if it was three boys being compared?
They're reading too much into this.
At some point, you have to tell your daughter, go, enough. Just do the fucking problem.
Just do the problem, you're, why, princess.
Why are you laughing?
I agree with the teacher and the kid.
Oh my God.
Fucking
my God.
Liberal. liberal.
I tell you, damn it all. If I got to stamp my foot again on this, I take everything situation by situation. I feel that the little girl was smart. She, you know, she kind of felt that way. The teacher,
I feel like she was brainwashed by her parents, Joe.
No, she wasn't brainwashed.
Does she have Asperger's?
I think she's on the spectrum.
Sorry,
I
couldn't help it. Is she?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Why couldn't they show, like, you know, maybe different sized dogs or something like that, that you're not shame, you know, or you know.
Because saying Joe weighs 150 and Bill weighs 120 is not an evaluation or something. It's a fact. When you go to the doctor, go, Joe, I'm going to tell you your weight. How does it make you feel? No, it's what you weigh, stupid.
Do you feel, but in the way things are now, we had a discussion before this. I mean, the way things are, do you feel with the way things are going, you know, and looking at things in certain ways, do you think that is shaming in a way?
No, I don't think comparing people in a math problem without any adjectives to describe them with just the, you know how you shame somebody? Go, look at that fat fuck. That's shaming somebody.
But still, I went into the story going, oh, what horse shit. And then I'm reading, I'm like, well, maybe not.
Just go showing reading isn't good for everyone.
Now, see, when I go to the doctor, if I step on the scale, I want them to write a number on a piece of paper and slide it to me. I don't want them to say it to me.
Listen, if they say Jennifer weighs 120 and Becky weighs goddamn.
Yeah. Right.
How many chins does Becky have to lose? We got an issue there.
Right.
But they're not doing that. It's math.
It's like that svelte person versus that piece of shit over there.
Yeah, it's math.
No, they're not doing it.
It's math.
It's just comparing sizes. Yeah, they could have picked, all these stupid word problems. They're trying to make them interesting so that you're not reading the same one over and over again. Here's a corn on the cob. This is a bigger corn on the cob. This one, where, you know, is this long. You know, so they try to make them interesting and making about students or
still,
things.
It's like, you know, how much.
You know what? You can play the Knitting Factory. They're ready for you.
How much? The table to the right shows the weight of three grade four students. How much heavier is Isabel than the lightest student? You're singling out the kids due to their weight.
They're not real kids. It's a math problem.
But it could be three pounds.
It's not a judgment.
Joe, they used to line us up in height order. I was one of the shortest. Was I being height shamed? I don't know. I was just standing at the front of the fucking line. when they used to pick size for gym class, I was one of the fattest. Was I being shamed? No, they thought I was slow. It is what it is.
Oh, believe me, I was called husky. Joe's husky. What am I, fucking a dog?
I used to pull my pants called Husky.
Yeah,
I mean,
but they didn't put Husky. Section. They didn't put Becky's petite and Tammy is Husky. They didn't put that.
There was no judgment. There was factual. Here are the numbers. You stand on a scale. A number is presented to you. The scale, unless it's one of those joke scales, doesn't go. Yeah. Oh my God! You're crushing me. Says a number.
They didn't even go. Tina's a size 3. You know, Amanda's a size 8, and you know, Teresa's a size 26. They didn't even do that. You could go size. Oh my God! And they didn't, which I wouldn't. That's what they fucking weigh. They're not even real people. Do the problem.
I think that people bringing their own preconceptions and their own prejudices and their own fears and reading. It's called reading top down. What's in your head? And you're putting it in the
words.
You need
a safe space for math problems.
Don't we all?
I don't. I'm not a snowflake. MAGA motherfucker.
I'm a math snowflake.
Later, the sign for pi is a racist sign.
How could you be offended by this, but fine with all the horse shit that Trump spews all the time? It makes no sense.
Trump delusion syndrome. Okay, the Trump delusion syndrome. Okay. All right, but because on this...
No, I watch what he fucking says. But unmatched wisdom,
it
please.
It comes out of his mouth.
Yes.
I saw it.
As long as the economy's good. But basically...
You can't feel that way with Obama.
No. Yeah.
Say, there you go.
Didn't like the country. But...
What?
He could not... He didn't like this country.
And that's based on what?
He was not pro-business. He did
business
not
understand. You do understand that he took the economy. I can't believe we're doing this again. He took the economy from a ditch and he brought it to growth.
You understand? He's been out of office basically 3 years now, and it's
you
like
mentioned
maybe,
him.
Maybe
yeah. You're the one. Yeah, you're,
but still,
you're the one who brought him up.
No.
Yes, you did. We
yes,
heard it.
You did.
Competence is high. Business expectations are high.
Actually, they're lowering. And manufacturing is at a 10-year low. But facts.
Manufacturing is because of the tariffs. But the tariffs are working because basically once they start to get in and find out how it is to import things and the length time, if they get the margins that close, it will work.
It tells the bankrupt farmers who are killing themselves. Anyway, back to this.
The thing with the farming, they were getting fucked anyway. They were getting and somebody finally had the balls to take the time and try to turn the trade. It's like any other war. It takes a little time. It takes a little sacrifice.
He doesn't have an end game. Yeah, he's not sacrificing. The farmers are. They're losing their farms. He's helping the fucking big corporate farm. He's not helping the little guy. Sacrifice. What does he fucking know from sacrifice? Please, he's never sacrificed anything. Wouldn't even fucking sacrifice anything for this goddamn country to go to Vietnam. He had bones for us. Stop with this. Now back to this math problem.
Sorry, when Obama was taking on the Viet Cong. Anyway.
He wasn't of draft age. And according to you, he was in Kenya. So how is he going to fucking fight that war?
He was fighting off baboons. Leave him alone.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that this, and basically, you know, little kids, you know, girls that age are very subjective to the way they look.
But don't put more shit on them.
They're sensitive, but it's like that. There was, but you know what? But don't say, you know what? Math is scary, and we're not allowed to talk about people's weights because it might hurt your feelings. We can't go there either. You know, it's like what's real is somebody fat shaming by going, "You look at you, boombalotti. We don't even want to be friends with you because you're fat." This is just simply saying these are numbers, and we're comparing them.
You couldn't put a car. A bigger size car and a truck in there?
Sure.
Use that as a comparison?
Sure, and they probably did.
Yeah, but then
did.
What happens if the auto industry gets offended? You know, we have to make big cars.
And the gas mileage.
Why are you shaming the Hummer?
Hummer's a big boy. He can take care of himself.
Do you want them to strike again? Do you want them to strike again?
Why you got to pick on the Volkswagen Beetle? It's fuel efficient. I don't know. I mean...
Auto workers are very sensitive. Yeah, you watch your ass.
Exactly. Well, come on. Anybody could be offended. If you're catering to this shit, it's going to come to you. God forbid you have math in your act.
Yeah, I'm really kind of shocked that you're thinking that this would...
I have math in my act.
Doing a new trig joke tonight.
He said trig. Trig. He said trig.
Trig.
I didn't want to get complained.
Okay.
He's a sensitive one on the show.
I watch him
at the knitting factory.
But I am really surprised that you're somebody who's talking about people being snowflakes and people being too sensitive about things, and it's like that you would like say that this was something that you were appreciating. I don't get that.
Basically because I feel that this kid's got a point. You know, why can't you use something else in there?
Yeah, they could use something else.
How about you still do the fucking math problem?
Yeah, how about you just do
how about
that?
How about you still do the problem? Raise your complaint and do the homework. How about that?
I don't understand.
You don't get extra credit for being woke. Not in my school. You don't get extra credit for your religious freedom, and you don't get extra credit for being woke in my school. You know why? Because everybody just does their fucking shit in my school, and we don't have to deal with this nonsense. The student get the fuck out. The teacher get the fuck out. I want nothing to do with any of you.
There was a small pile of dead babies. And then there was a larger pile of dead babies. Which, what was the difference between the piles of dead babies?
What were the ages?
I mean,
a toddler to three? Or
okay, you want to have offensive math? You want to have offensive math? I'll give you some fucking offensive math. You know? Come on.
She got that toddler delusion syndrome. You got that TDS, that toddler delusion syndrome over there.
No, but you know, I wrote a blog about this, and I was saying
yes,
that
you dead babies?
Dead babies.
It was introspective. It was about her womb.
Yeah. What? It was not. It was not about my womb at all. What?
It's dead babies.
Oh, yes. No. There is no womb.
You knew?
The oven is gone. It was removed for repairs.
Get your head in there, fucking see what happens.
Like a turkey.
Light that shit up. Boiling like a fucking hard-boiled egg in Joe's house.
No, I'm saying that I wrote a blog about it for the show, and the thing was that when you take an argument, or you take people who are, I'm going to say the word oppressed, or stigmatized, and you dilute their argument by bringing in everything that they think remotely has to do with it, you are diluting the argument, and you're making it look silly. I mean, if we're going to say that, you know, we shouldn't be fat-shaming people, that, you know, yes, I don't mean saying, yes, people should be 800 pounds, bring it, be as unhealthy as you want. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying you shouldn't be like...
Don't bring it here.
No, I'm saying, don't, you know, you shouldn't be able to, like, you know, discriminate against people because of their size.
No.
You know, and you shouldn't...
Well,
like,
unless you're tightrope walker.
And you shouldn't...
That's kind of pertinent. All of a sudden, well, you fucking saggy. You're not walking a tightrope. You're standing on the floor.
Honey, this isn't going to be the greatest job choice for you. Maybe we should think
you're
about
discriminating against me.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Yeah, you're not going to let me be in your math problem.
And you're not going to be a ballerina either, honey, so...
I will. It's just going to be a 4-4, not a 2-2.
I'd love to see you in a 2-2.
Wait, are we back to underwear choices?
No, we're
going
back to Joe's dreams.
That would be a real... Oh, Joe looks like he's going to throw up. Yeah. That would
he
be a disappointment.
Looks that way. Have you seen his face?
Oh, that's true. He does look like that when he's here. He
looks like a fucking stroke victim on a good day.
You're sitting too close to the cat box, Joe. Move away.
No, that was Joe, not a cat turd. I can tell the difference.
I'm just saying, you know what? Don't make your if you have an argument and you're saying that people shouldn't be stigmatized or you know, oppressed, then don't make it stupid and make it about this math problem. Yeah.
Pick your spots.
Pick your battles. This is a dumb battle.
Yes. All right, let's do some...
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
What is your problem?
Joe, that was like... It wasn't even like a real burp. Are you one of those guys who... can't fake a burp?
Let me, no, believe me, I had to get work, and Joanna's like, what the fuck are you doing? That's disgusting. Shut up, I'm doing a stinger. What's a stinger? It's for the show. So why did you call it a shut up? Why don't you clean up that kitchen table with all that shit on there? And I'm sick and tired of sleeping next to fucking spam.
I wonder why that marriage didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know why that fell apart.
You know, it's funny. I think my wedding anniversary is on the 12th, and I would be funny if the divorce papers came in that day.
Oh, that would be poetic.
Yeah, really.
All right, so this week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term.
I love it.
Got the pole evil.
That sounds sexual.
It really does.
Does
it's
it?
Like when you bang a skank and you come home with a disease. I got the pole evil.
I have the pole evil.
I got the pole evil.
Is there an ointment for this?
Maybe in the drink. That doesn't really make
Round
sense.
Up.
Oh, my God.
That'll kill it.
Yeah. Birth control.
Kills everything else. People, bushes. Yeah, it works fine.
Birth control by Monsanto.
I think President Bush is fine. I resent that.
Yeah, funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait. I got the pole evil, but I don't understand how... What does that have to do with drinking?
You're not sophisticated enough as Mr. Franklin. He's a founding father.
Apparently, right. I'm not.
Doing founding father things.
I am not going to go and fly a kite with a key on it.
Got the. I like that one. Don't know what it means, but.
I don't know.
Hey, going out to get the pole, evil, I see.
I think maybe he's just go. It's the kind of bars he was going to.
Strip
maybe.
Clubs.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's the pole, evil.
I wonder if somebody has to clean the. I guess they have to clean the poles. Who's the pole cleaner?
I don't know if anybody does. And ew. Ew.
When I was on jury duty.
It's a segue.
Grand jury duty. There was one of the things we had to take a look at. Decide if it was going to go to court. There was a fight at a strip club, and we're watching the surveillance footage, and we're watching the fight unfold, and I'm just laughing my ass off because the dancer is scrambling up as much money as she can to get the fuck out of the way of the fight.
Yeah,
then there's a massive fight going on. She's like,
what'd you think? You saw her, thought that's marriage material?
No,
like the way she handles her finances. Yeah.
She's got her mind on her money and her money on her mind.
All right, so these are unusual drinks found around the world.
Oh.
Tuna tears soju.
What?
Tuna tears soju.
Ew. Ew.
This is from South Korea.
Okay, I'm not going to like this.
You know, you didn't try.
No, I'm just...
Be bold.
I'm guessing.
Soju is the country's potent elixir. You got to try it if you're going to go hard. It's a reputation for going hard. Soju is distilled rice wine with high alcohol content. Can be found in nearly every restaurant, bar, and convenience store in the country. I didn't try it when I was there, but I didn't have this article. It comes in many different flavors. Peach and blueberry are some favorites. Delicious.
Oh, wait, that sounds good.
And Koreans love to mix the drink with beer to create another beverage called Maekju.
Which is
put together like a Jaeger bomb, a shot of Jägermeister dropped into an energy drink such as Red Bull.
Okay.
Sometimes they even mix it with tuna eye fluid.
Oh, God.
Oh, it can't be anything worse than I drank on this show. I was losing weight. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Then from the Fat Horse Challenge, hit that stuff.
We have a new challenge.
No, we don't.
No, nobody here is ever going to lose a bet again, or we're going to end up with tuna eye juice.
The tuna tear shot, or chamchi nanmuju in Korean, is typically served at Japanese-style restaurants or seafood spots known as tuna houses. We call them whole houses. The drink incorporates fluid from the eye of a tuna fish with the soju.
Ew.
The combination results in a beverage with jelly-like consistency.
Oh, God!
Which Joe would have to drink if he didn't lose 2 pounds.
Not saying no.
No, you're not saying no.
Oh, that's...
Angie DeSanto, an American English teacher living in Jeonju on South Korea's west coast, tells CNN Travel that trying soju this way is an unusual but exciting experience. The server pours the shot out of a tea kettle, but it's so thick that they have to cut it with scissors.
Oh.
Sometimes there are gold flakes inside of it, too. No, I couldn't. I couldn't.
That sounds like something you blow into a tissue.
When you're cutting my drink and not pouring it, I draw the line.
Absolutely
I am hoping
not.
I do not find this in a gas station on the side of the road for my travels.
Depends where you're driving.
You know, you have to do an episode with him, Joe. You could get your revenge if you find that crap.
Yeah, really. Well, we'd have to go back on tour. I'd have to go on tour with him in Korea.
I know. Oh, God, that's disgusting. Who would do this?
The Koreans.
Yeah, apparently.
All right. Now we go to Ecuador for Sinchicara. Sinchicara is an Ecuadorian drink produced in Sucumbias province in the northeast of the country. While most Ecuadorians have bottles of the commercial version in their fridges, the natural version of the drink is popular with Amazonian communities. I'd love to date an Amazonian.
Why?
I get shit for free in delivery.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Will she be prime?
If I'm dating her, she will. She'll come 2 days or less.
That is a long time for foreplay.
The Amazon thing looks like the symbol looks like a penis.
What now?
You ever see the Amazon emblem? That thing?
It's a smile, I thought.
It looks like a penis.
It curves up.
It's fucking all everybody else out of business.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not that familiar with curved penises, but good to know.
Yeah. Happens.
No, I know, but apparently Joe has seen a lot of them.
I hadn't really thought about it, but now I'm going to be looking at those boxes a whole new way.
You'll see.
With a whole new appreciation.
Great way to get underwear for your brother.
There you go.
No.
In a day.
You can buy the retail beverage or you can do it yourself. It's simple. Find a recipe online and mix your own at home. You'll likely end up with a drink which is more similar to that enjoyed by indigenous communities. Sinchicara is cane brandy fused with the bark of indigenous rainforest plants. And is unique to this region.
Okay.
While it's alcoholic drink, one of the main ingredients is Aguardiente de Cana, alcohol from sugarcane. I'm into that. Cinchicada is also used as a cold medicine, great for those living in the Andes. It's used to soothe rheumatoid arthritis and to believe to be an aphrodisiac and libido booster.
This sounds like an everything liquid. Where
yeah, that's what happens in these
that?
Countries. You know, they make shit up and says it cures everything.
I know, but I mean, like, if it did all these things, I want some.
If you just want to party Ecuadorian style, take a shot of the straight, just one, as it's 25% ABV. Is that alcohol beverage?
Yeah. 25% alcohol.
It's considerable.
Alcohol by volume.
Okay. It's a much safer option than ayahuasca, a brew with hallucinogenic properties that's become popular among travelers in this part of Ecuador.
And I was wondering that.
What? Yeah, you were thinking that. Yeah.
I would try this.
I would try that.
I would try this.
Yeah, it's rum made by sugarcane. What's not to like? Yeah.
Tongba, which is millet beer from Nepal.
I think I dated him.
It's a drink that comes from the Limbu people of Nepal. It's quite common among other Nepalese groups and foreigners who are eager to try it. Tongba is made by a process of fermenting whole grain millet, which can take a few weeks. When it's ready to drink, it's typically served in a barrel-like cup, also known as a tongba. To drink, you must pour in boiling water. The appropriate amount of millet will already be in the vessel and let it settle. Then you take a bamboo straw, I guess that's recyclable, which acts as a filter.
Yeah.
Allowing you to essentially drink the alcohol, the beer, while leaving the millet and other not-so-delicious sediments behind.
Well, if I made it at my house, I'd boil all the water away.
Sure you would.
Yes, you would.
That'd be cool.
And
stupid
a wall.
Beer, not millet beer. Tongba is the everlasting gobstopper of beer. Keep adding the boiling water, and you can continue drinking until you don't taste anything but lukewarm water. If you love those two-for-one happy hour deals, then Tongba is for you. Though Tongba is the easiest to find in Taplejung, Nepal, you can easily find it in Thimal, the downtown center in Kathmandu. It's essentially a warm beer that's perfect for those cold Himalayan evenings. I would try that.
Yeah, that sounds okay. I mean, you think about it, beer is made out of, you know, barley and hops and stuff. And it's like millet, so.
Boza. It's in the Bulgaria and the Caucasus. Dobrina Zhikova, a freelance journalist from Bulgaria, tells CNN Travel that she remembers drinking boza all the time growing up. That's good fucking parenting.
Yeehaw!
By the way, I get so much shit
from
the wife's side of the family and the wife when I let my kid have a little bit of wine.
Why?
Oh, she's too young. Meanwhile, a couple of years ago, we're in Maryland. My wife gives her some Kahlua with some coffee, and which the kid loves. Like, and she drinks the I can't
mojito.
Think of that's the words they escape me, but you have them.
I don't know why.
It's like, why? Wait a minute. Why are you giving me? I'm giving her a little bit. I'm like, it's better she experiences it here with us.
Yes.
And I tell her, I go, don't drink this with your friends without me. Because if you
she
get...
She likes to hang out with his friends. Yeah. Cut me out of a good time.
I'll buy the shit, but you got to call me.
All right, parking lot at 9 o'clock, all right?
Because if you do this and you get caught underage and your mother catches, she's going to give you hell and then I'm going to give you hell because she's going to give me hell and I'm going to make it fucking miserable. Because they think like I'm corrupting her. I'm like, you know what? No.
How much are you giving her?
A little bit.
No, please.
Take a little taste.
My friend Luis Barilli, their family, they used to have that much, like, he's indicated like an inch in a glass of, you know, of wine with dinner. And they were little kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember my uncle gave me Sambuca. Hey, want some Sambuca? I'll try it. And I'll be careful. And I used to, like, drink whiskey in the woods with the guys.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be good. Till I took a sip of that and my hair fell off.
That explains it.
Yep.
It was Sambuca that did that?
Yeah, Sambuca. Sambuca, you can't drink. You got it's an aperitif. You know, you got to go a little slow with it.
It's
parody.
Yeah, it's very. What am I going to say? It's like syrupy.
Syrupy, yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun time. Not good to puke up.
No. Yeah. Anyway. Oh no.
So I get shit. That reminds me.
Oh, this shouldn't.
Exactly. It's just me. It's like me and my daughter first. Man, fuck you, people.
You're taking the taboo out of it.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. My parents used to let me. I would be the only one drinking in my house.
Yeah.
Like on the Sabbath, they'd give me like a little bit of liqueur.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, as I got older, when the friends came over, I took some out. But besides, but you know, but it's fine. It took away the stigma of
right.
it. I'm not a big drinker.
No, you're not. And it's like, no, I mean, I'm not a huge drinker either. And it's like, you know, when I was a kid, I was allowed to sip beer out of my dad's can, you know.
That
came out wrong.
Wow. Okay. Wow. I think we made a breakthrough.
Well, no more need for therapy. We got to it. We got there.
That's where it all came from.
All that money wasted.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's not what I meant.
Don't take it back. It's a breakthrough, dear. You know, you're just wasting time with those awful Wynwood dreams when this is really what it's about. Sipping out of your dad's can. How'd your mom feel when you were sipping out of your dad's can?
Neglected.
Is that why you buy your brother underwear? Because you feel bad that he didn't get to sip out of your dad's can? Is this how you're trying to compensate?
Maybe it's because he did too, and somehow the underwear...
So you both drank out of your dad's can.
Yeah.
Did you drink out of your dad's can together? Did you take turns? Special days? This is a pip day? This is a pimp helix day? How's that work in the helix household?
I don't know.
No, don't black it out, baby. We're making progress.
Black it out.
Oh, my God.
Don't repress it. Let it out. Like beer out of a can.
I used to sip soda out of his can.
That can was all purpose. Dad would come home after a hard day of delivering the mail, bend over, and the kids would gather around.
All right.
The children
everybody.
Would dance.
Belly up.
Dad had to get something out of it.
Yeah, right.
Belly up to the bar, so to speak. Oh my God.
Poor Pip's mom would hustle herself away into the room, cry herself to sleep, as her spawn were sipping out of her husband's cans.
The can dance. Praises.
Oh my God. This is terrible.
Well, yes, it is. Yes. But we're learning something.
That's right. We made a break.
Your man was your father was a generous and kind man.
Wait, you said your man, your husband, your father. Wow, I just had a Freudian moment or three.
Well, I think we've learned something.
Oh, Christ.
Your father was all things to you.
No.
Including beverage dispenser.
No, oh my God, no! I never.
Did he show you his spout too?
No, I was never near my father's spigot. I swear.
This is my handle. This is my spout.
Pour out the drink, and we'll all shout.
I swear. No, I swear on a stack of Wynwood records, I was never near my father's spout. Okay. Thank you.
Well, the can was enough. Did enough damage.
That's so dirty.
You said it. Oh, the guy should wash. But he doesn't have Charmin? A little wet nap or something back there?
Oh, that's such a nasty idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have your kids drink from your can, you should make sure your can is clean. It's just
at
courtesy.
At the very least.
It's just courtesy.
It's just hygiene.
You can't have kids drinking out of a dirty can, Pip. It's wrong.
Is there such a thing as a clean can?
So
did
you guys like
you.
Fight for like who got first sip, who got last sip?
Of course. Mm. Sibling rivalry. Started there.
I feel like that should be on the list.
What?
Beer out of Pip's dad's can.
What list?
If you're ever in Bergen County, New Jersey, they have a special called Pip's dad's can.
Special concoction.
What happens is Pip's dad funnels the drink in his gullet, wait 10 minutes, and then sidle up to his can. Well, it's slightly warmed and has a musky.
That's recycling.
Gives us a slight taste of alcohol and tears.
Yeah. Sort of nutty.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, you never get the same flavor twice. It's the gobstopper of canned drinks.
Oh, I don't want to stick my gob anywhere near that.
Now, well, because you feel bad and a little dirty, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't, Epstein Island. You're fine.
Oh, wow. Oh, God, that's so gross. Yeah.
This might be the most important show we've ever done.
It's
the breakthrough show.
It is the breakthrough show.
Breakthrough show.
I mean, you know, Joe's been on the couch a bunch of times, so it's about time you came on the couch.
I've had moments.
And this was the best one.
This is it.
This would also explain why everything with you comes back to your can.
Back to my can.
It always comes back to your can.
It's all about the can.
You're a regular Freud, aren't you?
I went to school for it, Joe. I was a psychology major.
I thought you were a law.
No, that was graduate school.
Oh.
I was a psychology major, went to law school. Mm-hmm. All of this has helped Pip throughout the years during the first hour of the show when you're not here.
Right. I spend most of the time on the couch.
Yes.
Only the mic won't reach, so I moved over to the chair.
I definitely don't want to smell your breath. She almost lost it.
Oh, crap. I was taking a sip of soda. Almost everybody joined me with that
As
beverage,
Daddy says,
too.
Swallow it down, dear.
Hey,
you mustn't spit out the can.
Anybody want to step up to my can and have a sip?
That's nice. Dad's a generous man with an ample can.
Runs in the family.
Yeah, it's probably better you didn't have kids.
Yeah, oh no, it's a damn good thing.
Some traditions should not be passed
down. No, you have to stop that where it lies right
comes
now.
Home from a bad day at the day program, the kids just want to sit. No, get away from my can. I'm not in the mood. And I had a Burger King taco.
All goes back to that day in the late 70s.
Bergen County, New Jersey. A fine suburb outside of New York City.
Yes.
Where a man came home from delivering mail
to have his kids sidle up to his can.
And fight for sips.
Yeah. Like a pig suckling at a teat.
Oh, God, it's so horrible.
Well, I think we know what we'll be calling this segment. Pip's Dad's Can.
Yeah, I just, I wrote that down.
As well you should.
And through that breakthrough, she doesn't hide when the mail truck comes by.
The postman always rings twice.
Well, that's a good diversion. All right.
Took a diversion. That was a fucking swerve.
Pip's Dad's Can was in the way. What'd you want me to do, hit it, Joe? I'm not his kids.
It's a big obstruction.
Well, certainly is. All right. Boza. So she drank it all the time. I used to absolutely love the taste as a child. Oh, Pip's having a flashback, too. Oh, we'd God. Also have it in the afternoon whenever we went to a pastry shop with my parents or grandparents.
Oh, no! What went on behind the counter?
Usually on the weekends.
At the pastry shop.
Pip, was you guys a weekend thing or like daily?
I blocked most of that out. I can't say.
We'll find it.
Give us 8 more years. We'll get there. It was sort of a classic thing for Bulgaria and Pip. A slice of cake and a slice of cake and a glass of Boza for the kids. Hey, you love cake.
I love cake.
Made from fermenting boiled flour, giving it a slightly sour but sweet taste.
But wait, from fermented what flour?
Boiled.
Oh, boiled flour, I say.
A drink that's similar to milk in the States in terms of popularity and consumption, especially in the milkman days, is somewhat of a national pastime in Bulgaria and other countries in the Caucasus. Because of the microorganisms in the Boza, it's believed to be an excellent probiotic that's good for your gut. It also contains a negligible amount of alcohol, though this doesn't stop children and pregnant women from drinking it. And that's why Bulgaria is such a world leader. Some obstetricians, in fact, say Boza is good during pregnancy, as it increases breast milk supply, but they're all drunk on it, according to Zhukova. Zhukova also remembers her classmates giggling about how Boza can help make your breasts grow bigger, too. Go on.
Wait, now he's interested.
Somewhat of an urban legend in Bulgaria. These days, Boza has lost its sheen. It's one of the first drinks I was introduced to as a child growing up in the then communist dictatorship. As with everything, there were very few drinks one could choose from. But now, drinking Boza is seen as uncool. Georgi Gigiev, an online marketing consultant.
Easy for you to say.
Despite the decrease in popularity, Boza can still be found in most local grocery stores. I would try it.
Yeah, why not? Right.
I would definitely give it to a girlfriend with small tits.
I think I had some Boza because, like, this dress used to fit. And now it's, like, trying to pop. Actually, like, several times today, the little button that's like, right in the middle of the boobs, like, popped open several times. So I have an ID I wear, and I hiked it up so that it would sit right over this spot. So in case it popped open again, I wasn't going to be scaring anybody.
Facebook Live should be interesting, kids. Tune in, see Pip's tits.
Right.
See if they, like, burst free again.
Watch a button shoot like a fucking cannon.
Poor little butt screening.
It is. It's like, look, I put this on and I was like, that's okay. And then I sat down, and when I sit down, it's like splurt. I was like, this was a battle of wills today, keeping the girls in.
Where do we go?
Yeah,
Pip's Dad's Can, her tits. It's really been, and I thought we were doing drunks in the news.
Yes.
Mama Juana. Mama Juana. Dominican Republic. If you're heading to the Dominican Republic, the one drink you'll want to keep an eye out for is Mama Juana.
Is that like marijuana?
I don't know. I don't fucking make this shit.
Okay.
I don't have a distillery, you whore.
Wait. How did my whorishness come into this?
It's always under.
It's
underlined.
Always. It's right below
it's
the surface.
Go-to word.
I know.
No, I call you an asshole.
I understand that.
Switch it
it's
up
not
a little.
Always my go-to.
Call him a whore sometimes.
Joe's a whore. But
and
nobody's,
I'm an
nobody's
asshole.
Buying. You can't be a whore if you're out of business.
Oh, please. Joe's girl's lining up with a tin cup. Come here.
You really think
some
she's paying
that?
For it at this point? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
Oh, no. He's giving it away for free. That's what makes him the whore. See?
Yeah.
That's how it works. You get it now? All right.
Not a good businessman.
You can give it away, Joe. I have faith in you.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Give it away now.
Give it away, get away, get away now.
You done?
No. You better keep going.
Yeah. Though it's a national drink, there is an agreed-upon single recipe for Mama Juana, as each family makes their own. There isn't an agreed-upon. One ingredient that every recipe contains is bark, which historically is harvested.
I'm sorry. That just sounds like we're going to go and strip the bark off a tree and really chow down.
Well, yeah, it's not like it's not like how the tree says take this.
I know.
What's wrong with you, stupid?
It just sounds like like a ridiculous ingredient.
Bark. No, tuna eye juice, but we'll move on.
Yeah, really, like all these other ingredients have been very tuna eye juice. And, and you laugh at bark. How do you get tuna eye juice?
I don't, you know
squeeze.
What?
What do you make the tuna cry?
Yeah, you do. You tell terrible stories. He tell it terrible stories about fishermen.
Just talking about his childhood. Ah, it was so rough. He had to play outside by the sticker bushes. Ah. Tuna starts crying because it comes from a sheltered school.
Tuna are very sensitive.
They are very sensitive fish. They'll see him perform at the knitting factory.
Yes.
Mechie and a fucking name I can pronounce. I beg you. Mechie Anais Estevez Cruz. Be running for Congress in New York.
You're just struggling over every word. It's hilarious.
Yeah, not your dad's can. Got that right out.
Yes.
Owner of a language school. You better be with that fucking name. That teaches Dominican culture in the Dominican Republic is nostalgic about the beverage, saying, "We do drink Mama Juana. In a way, it's like we don't forget our past. Mama Juana's purpose is wide-ranging. It's an aphrodisiac, can be used to treat digestive issues, cure colds, get rid of the flu. It also is considered with the sole purpose of having good old-fashioned time. So, a good old-fashioned, horrible sense. So long as you don't mind the licorice-y or floral taste. So that's like Sambuca.
It must taste like shit.
Yeah.
No, it's not coming out of
no,
dad's
no,
can.
No, it's not dad's can.
Next time you're in the Dominican Republic, you can always head to La Casita de Papi in Cabaret and ask about the local post-meal digestive.
It actually doesn't sound bad.
No, the only thing that sounds The only thing that sounds gross is the tuna juice.
The tuna eyeball juice, no. Yeah. No.
Cava Fiji. Cava is an important part of the Fijian ceremonies, and roots sevu are often a main component of formal meetings and special occasions. If you attend a cava ceremony while in Fiji, you'll have the unique opportunity to try this drink, which comes from an intoxicating pepper plant common across the countries in the region. The plant is pounded, like it wants it, into a powder and then mixed with
you
water.
You want to be pounded, don't you?
Diana Selkirk, getting better, a Canadian travel writer and photographer, attended one such ceremony while traveling in Fiji. Selkirk sampled kava and describes the experience affectionately. There are a bunch of reasons it affects people. Apparently, it has 18 active compounds. It made me extra cheerful and very mellow and gave me numb lips and tongue so I could suck that cock.
Oh, my God.
I was able to blow a moose.
Something we frequently do in Canada.
It also makes people talkative and cooperative.
And tell us all your secrets. Now, what's your pen, dear?
Kava is a psychoactive drink, and while it's legal in Fiji, it's banned in some countries. So read up on the potential side effects before you decide to partake. I would not drink that.
Really? Why not?
I don't want the side effects.
Yeah, psychoactive.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't think I want that either.
Hmm.
I like to be in control or just have my shit together.
Well, we look forward to that day.
I don't think that I would like to try the, you know, psychoactive properties and, you know, no. That's why I never took acid, because I was like, I was afraid to be one of those people that would go on a trip and never come home.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a
I didn't want to be Sid Barrett.
Guy used to live next door to my friends, took acid one time, and the plot was about maybe 25 by 40, and got in woods and got lost in there for about 2 days because he was tripping on acid.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, that doesn't sound like a fun time for me. Trying to reorient myself on this planet.
Lost in those woods for 2 days. It's a little bit bigger than his basement.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's.
We laughed. Like,
I don't
want to
be
we
the
laughed,
one.
We laughed our asses.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mezcal de Puchuga from Mexico, or as it's known in English, meat breast mezcal.
What now?
Meat breast mezcal.
Meat breast.
You can
breast.
Put some of them behind those buttons.
Yeah, meat breast mezcal. Yeah, what now?
And of itself, mezcal, a popular drink in Mexico, doesn't meet our criteria for odd and unusual. You can find all kinds of mezcal in bars throughout the country and internationally, too. But there's one type that stands out from the rest. Mezcal de Pechuga, meat breast mezcal, isn't produced the same way as your same way. Fucking, come
typo.
On, CNN.
Typo.
Yeah. In the mezcal de pechuga process, a raw chicken breast or hen, rabbit or turkey, really any woodland creature.
Any poultry will do.
Well, a rabbit's not poultry, stupid.
I didn't hear rabbit. Sorry.
Is hung over the still where the mezcal is being distilled and slow cooks in the vapors. It's said to give the drink a fuller punch. Miriam Rodriguez Gonzalez. Why? Whose grandfather owned
Irish gal.
whose grandfather owned a planica or distillery in Oaxaca, tells CNN Travel, he would take the chicken breast and put it inside a plastic bag with small holes. Then he would place the bag inside of the huge container where the mezcal has been filtered and leave it there for some time. We don't know many people who make it like my grandfather.
Thank God.
Because they don't want to get salmonella.
Yeah, really.
Mexicans believe mezcal can be good for several health reasons. Such
you know, not for nothing. I think that salmonella would get its ass kicked with this stuff.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think salmonella would have a chance.
It sounds nasty.
Mexicans believe mezcal can be good for several health reasons, including such as digestion. But this version of mezcal in general is a great celebratory drink that shouldn't be messed around with. I don't know if I want the raw meat in my drink.
Yeah, I'll pass on the botulism. Thank you.
A little too much for me.
Ugh.
And our final one.
The sound?
The Sour Toe Cocktail from Dawson City, Canada.
Sour Toe?
Yes.
Yes. I didn't say camel toe. I said sour toe. Sour toe. I like the camel toe cocktail.
Camel toe cocktail.
It's fishy and aromatic.
Oh, no. We got the tuna eyeball juice again.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. If you have to cut it, though. If you have to cut the camel toe cocktail.
If you snip it with scissors like it's snot coming out of a kettle, I don't want any part of it.
Sometimes the camel toe is made with a yeasty mixture.
Oh. If anybody's baking bread, you don't want any part of that.
The Sour Toe Cocktail isn't a drink for the faint of heart. Served in a shot glass with Yukon Jack or tequila, the imbiber must take a swig and let the toe touch their lips.
A fucking real toe?
It's almost like you didn't get the article. But
yes, but where it says, by the way, this is a real human toe. Stupid.
But which toe is the question? Legend has it the tradition started when a man named Louis Lakin, a rum runner, not so much anymore, lost his toe after it was frostbitten.
A run? A what?
A run limper.
A limper.
Really? That funny?
Aha! Aha!
Take it to the knitting factory, son. You done with that one, or you want to savor that one some more?
I'm done.
My joke. Let her savor it.
Let her savor it.
Like a chicken breast in mezcal.
It's a good joke. Should be savored like a fine wine, my dear. Take your time.
Lost his toe after it was frostbitten in the snow. His brother chopped it off. Then he stored it in a mason jar. Decades later, it was
and then the other brother told dad.
Yeah, he's very.
Who showed his can?
Decades later, it was found on a shelf in his cabin.
Oh, decades later, he's sentimental.
Have you ever seen your car? There's possibility that decades later you could find shit in there.
That's a toe.
Like dad's can.
We didn't have a funeral. We just put him in Pip's car. He's well preserved.
Ever notice that my windows are always steamed up?
Although Pips now has a place to get rid of her shit at the day program. So maybe we'll get dad's can after all.
Yep.
Stored in mason jar. Decades later, was found on a shelf in his cabin, served in drinks to brave bargoers. When asked about her experience, Young told CNN Travel, I stared at the toe as it lay on a bed of salt. Clearly a hammer toe, as it has a distinguishable nail. As gross as it looked, I felt surprisingly calm, because I'd put worse in my mouth. I couldn't help but laugh at the absurdity of it all. He said he'll pull out. I knew it was a lie. Since then, the other toes have been generously donated and used in the cocktail, especially since several of its predecessors have been stolen and or swallowed.
What?
How do you swallow it?
That's
wife material right there.
Yeah. Didn't even feel it go down.
Nah, that's a good woman. As a matter of fact, Terry Lee, the toe captain of the downtown hotel where the drink is patented and copyrighted, so you can't have it anywhere else in the world, mentioned another drink called the Foot. Hey, it's named after you.
There you go.
There's your drink.
It's bald and ornery. It's a bad, bitter aftertaste.
It has a bitter foretaste, too.
It's going to be a double shot with all five toes. From different humans.
Oh, no.
That the line? The different humans. Because one rum runner from years ago is fine, but you're putting in different humans, that's too much. You don't know where they've been.
I don't know where they've been. And who all these people are. At least I knew where that toe was coming from. No.
Well, once the toes are finished mummifying, they'll be ready for you. And if you're secretly wondering what other mammals taste like in a beverage, Lee said that once a year in Dawson City, the Humane Society serves the dog ball highball, a similar drink with dog's testicles.
I like how the Humane Society serves this.
Well, they got
them
laying
Society around. Are the ones that should be calling foul on this.
No, they're not. But I mean, they're spaying and neutering. What are you going to do with the balls? Just throw them away?
If they're call it fallow. It'd be the chicken balls.
They're recycling, Joe. Right, what's your fucking problem? Right, what, do you hate Mother Earth?
Calm down. Don't throw a hissy fit, Butch. I get it.
No, I don't think you do.
I got it now.
I don't give a shit about the children and whether they'll have dog balls in the future. Dog balls will run out. Then where will it be?
Then what will we do?
Exactly.
We'll have to, we'll have to resort to nudicles.
Yeah, I wouldn't do this. I would not. No, not me.
No. I don't even want, like, pickled pig's feet. I don't want human feet, human parts that I don't know anywhere near my mouth.
How about I have the belly button?
You ever have Yukon Jack?
Nope.
I don't even know Yukon Jack.
Yukon Jack's what they serve in a Yukon Jack. I think it probably tastes good with Yukon Jack.
So you can have some toast.
All right.
I don't want any body parts that I don't know near my mouth.
Yeah, I've never
None.
Done a shot out of a girl's belly button.
No. Ew. There's lint. There's sweat.
Yeah, but I feel like if she's hot and I'm drunk, it's probably a good idea.
Well, if you're drunk, all bets are off.
Yeah.
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 The missus is there.
Joe's girl has me dead to rights. She goes, you just like to lick Joe's toes.
Oh! Somebody's seen the archive footage. Somebody looked at the video.
There's been a conversation had.
I bet. Did you like it when Pip licked your toes? You seem like you enjoyed it. Do you like when people watch you, Joe?
Do you guys watch that a lot together? I'm really kind of like turned off right now.
That's how Joe gets hard. That's the only thing that does it now. That and a finger up his ass.
Stop peeking. Joe, I want you to know that I have never even licked my husband's foot, okay?
Wow! Aren't you a special camper?
Yes. You should feel very privileged.
But at many time out of dad's can.
Well, you know, I don't like to brag.
You've never licked your husband's foot?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no. I don't get down that way. I know it seems that way from the
don't
video.
Don't forget, this was a punishment, not an, you know, an erotic act.
No, I feel like you enjoyed
it. It was fucking creepy. I felt bad for her.
Whip off that shoe. Let's see if that's creepy.
Somebody more appealing to you. Well, pretend it's Trucker Tom. I don't give a shit.
I kind of felt bad, but I think that you laughed at me when I lost at something and I had to eat something gross. So I think I was.
You were fine with it.
Yeah.
I think I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were okay.
Because you were laughing at me when I had to do something disgusting.
Sure,
like,
I did.
Ha! Payback's a bitch.
Yeah.
I didn't always feel sorry for you. Sometimes it was funny.
Good times. We should do that again.
No.
We should be more team players.
Yeah, no. You know what? Because I will destroy this carpet with vomit. I would.
Destroyed this show with your humor.
Yeah, I know, but that's been years and years in the making.
Vomit one-time shot. Oh, Joe will probably scrub it a little bit, wash it.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter.
Hey, you know what? You're right. Joe should suck your foot.
No.
You've never had your toe sucked?
I won't say that.
Okay, you don't like it?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah.
It's creepy.
No,
it's... You ever had yours?
Mine? No.
How do you know it's creepy?
I didn't suck his
mom.
Toes.
Yeah, but where were you?
I didn't
but
suck your toes.
That wasn't an act of erotica. That was, you know, punishment.
I licked one toe, and you're toe girl
no,
for the rest
I mean,
of your life.
It's like if creepy. Joe's girl becomes toes girl.
Toes girl.
I mean, if Toes Girl wants to get down, you're going to say no? You're going to refuse Toes Girl? How dare you, sir? A fine woman like Toes Girl? You make her happy.
Come on, she's a piece of ass. Now you get in there and you suck.
Suck that toe.
Suck it.
I'm not going to suck the toe. If Toes Girl wanted to get down that way, you wouldn't entertain that?
No, that's creepy.
She said, there's plenty of stuff he won't let me do.
Oh! Wow, it's quite
wow.
the revealing
Hold
episode.
On a second. Roll up our sleeves.
Is this
like
the season-ending episode of Davinson? Like, there's so many cliffhangers tonight.
No, they're revelations.
Go on, Toes Girl. We're
Go
listening.
On.
You look me in the eyes when we do it. Don't touch me. I won't touch you. We will not. We will barely bump nasties.
There will be no kissing.
I will climb on top of you. Your arms will be down by your side.
There will be
sound like fun.
There will be hole in the middle of the sheet.
According to Toes Girl, it's not. Joe sends a foreplay his doggy style with Ice Road Truckers on so he can watch it.
Oh, come on, that's not weird. We get down to Walking Dead, you know?
Well.
Oh, they just sliced another head in half. Oh!
Joe, you got to make the child happy over there.
The child.
She's a young, precious thing. Make her happy. Get kinky. She wants to get kinky. Get kinky.
There you go.
She wants the kink.
What was it? Feather duster? It was feather.
You know what?
Duster,
I bet Toe's girl wants Joe's can. I think that's what this comes down to. She wants a little Joe's can.
I think you're gonna have to stop at the all night grocery and get some millet. Yeah, I don't
know. Bring her home a black and white cookie.
Let me tell
It'll
you.
Kill the mood.
The cover is on Joe's can.
Well, Toe's girl is not happy about it. Uncover your cans,
the
sir.
The cover is on Joe's.
It's not a barbecue. It's not fucking December, stupid.
Yeah, no, the cover is on. I understand.
Poor Toes girl wants to get there with a little fucking miner helmet on. A fucking light. Get down
my
to business.
God.
Joe's not having it.
No spelunking?
No
None?
Spelunking. The girl wants to go to town. She wants to mine for coal. She's a patriot. She loves her president. She wants to bring back the coal industry, not you.
There ain't coal in there.
How do you know? You found other things. Maybe she'll get the black gloves that your doctor fancies so much.
Yeah, I didn't hear that extra snap. Where did that go? Oh my God.
This is why it's you and me all the time. You're not adventurous. She's bored.
You're not a team player.
Even I'm bored too.
It's the same thing. Turn on National Geographic. Watch the girl with the big black tits. Come. Done. Good night.
What,
same thing.
11? What?
It sounds like it.
No, it doesn't make you 11 just because you don't want to do some weird shit.
No, that's National Geographic.
I know it is.
Yeah, but he's not
sophisticated.
He's not willing to explore.
No. Okay.
National Geographic is for explorers.
Just the one somebody else exploring.
You have to trust Toes Girl.
Yeah, I don't want any cave diving either. No, I'm not interested in that.
Everybody's been in their place.
I know, that's
it.
True.
Stop it.
Entire surgical teams have been dead.
I thought Discovery Channel did a miniseries on your ass.
I think we lost a doctor in there.
I'm still waiting for him to come out.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, Joe, you live a little. And bring back the stories for the show.
Yeah, we want details now.
Yeah. Wait, Pip revealed a lot about herself tonight. Guys won't lick each other's toes. You got to do something for the show.
Yeah, it's always something about ass, though. That's how I roll.
I forgot who I was talking with one time, and you know, because everybody does shows, you know, yeah. Shows, and they said something. Oh yeah, at least I got a story for the show. I'm like, yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah. I know the feeling.
This is how we live now.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
Megan has taken her neighbors all the way to the Supreme Court, demanding they stop smoking, bouncing balls, and even cooking barbecues in the backyard. Cilla Carden says she'll do anything to get some peace and quiet, but a judge says her neighbors haven't done anything wrong.
This isn't your average neighbourhood dispute. It's a battle between a vegan and meat eaters, a health-conscious massage therapist and the barbecuers next door.
They've put it so you smell fish. All I smell is fish.
Cilla Carden is vegan and she's fed up with the meaty smells coming from over the fence of her Girraween home.
I can't enjoy my backyard. I can't go out there.
She's also furious at cigarette smoke wafting into her yard. So angry, she's taken her right for a fume-free existence all the way to the WA Supreme Court.
Do you think they're doing this on purpose?
Oh, absolutely. Of course they are. It's deliberate. That's what I said to the court. It's deliberate. And the smell is just the start of her complaints against two separate neighbours on Rochford Way.
They've just banged the wall at any time when I've been sleeping. Then their kids with their basketballs... just banging and vibrates this part of the house. It's been devastating. It's been a turmoil. There's been unrest. I haven't been able to sleep.
It was thrown out of court, and despite the anger, the neighbours just want to be left alone, declining an interview, telling us they want to keep the peace. One invited us into the backyard to show he's even removed the barbecue and told his children to stop playing basketball.
Going to the Supreme Court is an extreme option.
The other neighbour, who also wanted to be anonymous, said in a statement Ms. Carden's demands were proven to be not reasonable and indeed were to the detriment of the other owner's ability to enjoy their lots in a reasonable and acceptable manner. But the legal battles aren't over just yet. Cilla Carden is vowing to return to court to continue the fight against her neighbours.
If you're having a dispute, the first step is you should go next door and try and sort it out face to face. Because if you don't do it that way, you're going to be up for a world of misery.
Exactly what I wanted from the word go.
Now it's time for the spite portion of that story.
Yes.
Thousands of people are roasting an Australian vegan who took her neighbors to court over the smell of meat and fish from their barbecue by planning a massive cookout outside of her home.
She's been playing basketball, too.
Oh, man.
Cilla Carden made headlines this week for her legal beef in which she claimed the odors from her neighbors had destroyed her quality of life. Now more than 3,000 people are planning to attend a cookout outside her Perth home organized on a Facebook page called Community Barbecue for Cilla Carden. Don't let Cilla destroy a good old Aussie tradition. Join us for our community barbecue and help Cilla Carden get some pork on her fork. The event description reads, the barbecue is scheduled for October 19th and vegans are not welcome, the page says.
Oh, wow.
I think the vegan is being ridiculous. You got to let people live their best life.
She seems like a problem.
Yeah. Oh,
but
well,
not like
yeah.
a math problem, Joe? Then you'd be on her side.
No, she does seem a bit much.
A bit much.
You know?
It's like, you know what? Let them cook. You close your windows.
Yeah.
They have a right to enjoy their life.
Yeah. I mean,
like religious freedom. Do whatever you want in your home. Just don't let it waft over here.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's a shame that it spills in the air and it's like a smell that's
but
disgusting
it is what it
to
is.
Her.
That barbecue smells so good.
I know. That smells really
Perth.
Good.
We'll send you one way.
Yeah. Wait a minute. When is that barbecue?
October 19th.
Oh, we could still make it. We start flying now.
But like, I can.
Right now.
Yeah, right.
It would be bad. Like the food smelled disgusting, though. Like I had some Filipino friends growing up, and some of the food that they grew, they weren't my neighbors,
right?
But I would go over their house to hang out, and it was like really stomach turning to me because I wasn't used to it,
right?
And
well,
it didn't smell good.
I mean, but if you think about it, it's not like they're cooking in the house where it's contained and it's like, you know, mind your business. It's outside on a barbecue, blowing into.
But
your
they
house.
Have a right to barbecue.
They do, but I'm just saying that, just, you know, I'm not saying that she should go and sue them over this, but I'm just thinking how unpleasant it might be to be in her home and having that smell, like disgusting smells
I
coming
don't
at
think
her all
she
the
has,
time.
I don't think she has any legal recourse.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she does. I mean, really, they might consider moving someplace where they're not going to be right next to their neighbors and smell those things. Maybe that's not possible for them, but I mean, you know, maybe live in an apartment where people don't have barbecues. I don't know.
I would attend the spite barbecue if it sounded delicious enough.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
I'd
very
go if
nice.
8,000 miles away.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Sounds like a good time.
So I feel bad for all the parties involved.
I do.
But
I do.
It's not worth going to court over. I mean, so you move. You got to move.
You got
to
move if you really, you
know,
you're
wearing nose plugs. You can't deprive other people of living their life.
Yeah. No, you can't.
Well, on the break, we got new music from Artenovum with Don't Run Away, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, we'll do some scam busters with Ann Jackson.